What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, along with Elijah Campbell, back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Chase, what will you be doing tonight at 6 o'clock?
I will be engineering Nashville SC.
Thank goodness, because I just took a chance you were. I didn't know if you were or not.
I'm going to be honest with you that with each day, I mean, when you ask that, I have to go, what am I doing tonight? Okay, it's Tuesday. Yes, Nashville SC. That is tonight, and looking forward to that as this team, the season is winding down.
Yeah, well, we're going into November.
So, yeah, every point matters as they're trying to, in their inaugural season, make it into the playoffs. So they take on Montreal tonight. Starting at 6, pregame at 5:45 on ESPN 94.9.
Montreal Impact tonight, as you said, 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:45. You can hear all the action on 94.9.
Yes, so playing Montreal in New York or something.
And sure. who is the opening riff tonight on the guitar?
Oh, John Oates.
John Oates, a former guest of our show, right? He has been on the show, so he is cool with all of us, and even if he wasn't, he would still be cool. But that's a great choice. I love it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That is a great move.
No complaints on this show about that.
He's a big NASCAR or big racing fan, not just NASCAR.
He is.
Big
He's
racing
been doing
fan.
Stuff with the Grand Prix, right?
Yep. He'll be involved with that. I did some stuff with him last year at the World of Outlaws out at the fairgrounds. So he was a part of that. So. He's excited about it coming to our city because he resides here.
That was the last time we had him on, by the way, for
yes.
that, right?
Yes, it was. So, yeah, it's going to be cool.
So we got a lot of stuff going on. Nashville SC on 94.9 tonight starting at 6 and Game 6 of the World Series starting at 7 on ESPN 102.5 the game. Before we get into the Titans pass rush or lack of, interesting tweet from Pete Thamel. Here in the last 20, I don't know, last 30 minutes, whenever, I just saw this during the break. Sources, Southern Miss interim coach Scotty Walden will be the next coach at Austin Peay. He will leave immediately, and Southern Miss assistant Tim Billings will be the school's third head coach this season. Let's start on the Southern Miss side of things. What the hell is going on at Southern Miss?
I don't know. That is gone haywire.
He is what pulling is a happening? Bobby Petrino. He's just up. Did he leave a note in their lockers? Hey, guys, I'm going to Clarksville. See you later. Thanks for the memories.
Did somebody get COVID-19? Didn't he just get it? I thought I saw something on that.
I have not been following the Southern Miss football program very closely this year.
I'm trying to figure. After a surprising early season loss to South Alabama, Jay Hobson unexpectedly resigned the following Monday, and Scotty Walden was named the interim coach.
They've had two interim coaches in the same season. We're in October.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Walden was head coach at East Texas Baptist.
Sure.
In 2016, before joining Southern Miss as an assistant, he tested positive for COVID-19 last week.
My gosh.
And now he is the Austin Peay coach.
They are fleeing that program. I mean, just up in the middle of the year? I mean, wow. So there you go. I guess Austin Peay is going to have Scotty Walden.
They just need to hire Brett Favre to be their coach and just move on.
So Tim Billings is now the interim coach? Is that correct?
Yes.
No, I don't. I guess, yeah. Is that how you – the official title? I don't know how you say that. You know, in all seriousness, because we boom into Clarksville, after such an unbelievable season and ride last year, man – things have looked a whole lot different, right? And I know right now they're not playing. I know they're not, right? They're not starting until spring, right? They played their, what was it, four games, and then they were done. And they'll start back up in the spring, so I guess they'll have Scotty Walden as their head coach, I guess, as of today.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to go with. But, wow, what a crazy story. Southern Miss, we're in October. They now have their third head coach of the season for their football program. Okay, we were talking about Stephon Gilmore and him being dangled out there by the Patriots. And, you know, would that work? Would that be a realistic fit for the Titans? We know, as we talked about, long shot at best. But let's talk about the pass rush, because that's what we talked about a lot yesterday. And how do you fix that? Unless guys who haven't been playing great, like Vic Beasley, I said yesterday, if it wasn't for us living in this market and covering the Titans, I wouldn't even know Vic Beasley was on this roster. He probably, and the crazy thing is, he probably had his most visible game against Pittsburgh. That's the most I've even, he has been almost Casper the entire season. I'm using a little Halloween reference and a ghost. I mean, he has been nowhere to be found for a guy getting $9.5 million. And Jadeveon Clowney is another guy that, I don't find him – a lot of people are upset and disappointed in Jadeveon Clowney. I'm probably not at the level as a lot of fans are, or a lot of people that, you know, cover the team. I think he's got a lot more to give. But I also know that, you know, he's a guy that at least when he's out there on a lot of times
you see him.
Visible, he's doing things. Sometimes he gets double teamed. So you have to pay attention to what he's doing. Whether he's doing enough – is a different story, because we all can agree he can do more, he can help this team more, but he does at least command a presence. Vic Beasley, we don't know he's out there. I don't know if the opponent knows he's out there. He's been an absolute zero for this roster. So how do you fix that unless some of these guys who aren't producing all of a sudden just change, you know, what we've seen in the first half and the second half? I don't know.
I will start with one thing. You play the Cincinnati Bengals. If you cannot get a pass rush against the Bengals, then the light, which is already red, you know, if it's not red, it's turning from yellow. It'll be red in like 0.1 of a second. It will be dead red. If you can't get a rush against them, you can't get a pass rush. So this week is going to tell us a lot. Right? If it's going to happen, it's got to show up this week. The Bengals give up sacks big time. They gave up 4 last week to the Browns. Going into that game, they were 30th out of 32 teams in adjusted sack rate. In other words, every time they pass, 9% of the time, Joe Burrow has been sacked. Now, that doesn't even count the times he gets hit and throws with a guy in his face. So this is a team you have to be able to pressure. And they're still, you know, they're reasonably decent, right? Joe Burrow has done an excellent job under the circumstances, under the pressure he is. But that's where it starts. This is a week where if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, you have bigger problems than we even know.
So here's a few things from how I look at this. So we know that Clowney, Beasley, Harold Landry, Derek Roberson, those are your primary pass rushers that are currently on the roster. And we've said, okay, Vic Beasley's been in the witness protection program. We know Derek Roberson's been hurt. So I understand that. But how much of this is not necessarily the players, but the scheme? Teron Davenport was with us yesterday and brought up some of that. And he was talking about he actually has a blog up today on ESPN.com about the third down defense, but he ties it all together. And he brought up something that he said with us of the defensive coaching scheme, or the defensive scheme with the secondary of playing the zone coverage. And because of that, they have basically, Ben Roethlisberger got rid of the ball in 2 seconds because he knew that the receivers could run the routes. They were open, and he got rid of the ball. Well, the pass rush doesn't have a long time at all to get to the quarterback. So how much is it the scheme, and how much is it the individual players? I certainly think that you have to you have to look at the individuals, but I think the scheme is something that should be dissected even more of it's simply not working, because we've had this discussion for 3 years of the Titans need to get better on pass rush, and they bring guys in, they drafted Landry, and I'll admit, I think that Landry, I'm glad that they got him, and I think he's a good player, but I've always felt like there should be more, and especially when you add Jadeveon Clowney, you add Vic Beasley, in theory, you know, that should help him, and he's simply not making the big game-stopping, game-changing plays that you hope that he would make. So how much of that is on him? How much of that is the scheme that we're still asking the question, where is the Titans' pass rush?
I'm counting on the scheme getting a lot better. I think the scheme is part of it, but I just think when we asked Ron about it, I tried to get specific. I was like, you know, what is going wrong? And he said, hey, it's not like these guys are getting double teamed everywhere they go, right? You can't double everybody. And he says he doesn't even think that Clowney is getting double teamed that much. They're lining him up all over the place. But somebody's got to beat a block one on one. If one guy is getting doubled, or if somebody's coming over to chip and all that stuff, somebody else has to beat a block, and nobody's doing it. Now, where I think the scheme might come in, Chase, I have not noticed as often, even though they were not a great pass rush team, especially with the front four, they were getting the timely blitz, and you know, you would notice at least a couple times a game where a guy would come off the corner, a Logan Ryan or a Roberson or somebody, and somebody was getting there. I'm not seeing that as much this
year.
Well,
you're the thing that they're missing is, number one, I mean, Dean Pease was the master at, you know, blitzing out of the secondary. I mean, he loved the blitz, period. But, and, you know, Robbie and Joe were talking about this earlier, too, of, okay, that you basically have a lot of the same players on defense, so why is the defense struggling like they are? Well, two of the key factors in all of this are gone, Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan. I mean, that Logan Ryan had how many sacks in the last couple of years?
He contributed to that.
Yeah,
good. For sure. He was very good at that.
Yep.
He was better at that, honestly, than he was covering people.
Agreed. And so you don't have that anymore. The hope was Kenny Vaccaro could kind of play that role, and I think they've tried that some. But, you know, now maybe when you get Adoree Jackson back, does that put all the pieces in the right place where you could do more of that stuff? We'll find out. We were all wrong, by the way. I guess my initial what I had initially thought was right, because he didn't play. But by the end of the week, we were all saying he was going to play, and he did not play against Pittsburgh. But I would think this week he will be back in the lineup. But
yeah, you should have stuck to your guns. You would have won out on that one. But I think this week he's, you know, barring a setback, he's definitely.
Well, they have 51 on the roster right now after they released Will Compton yesterday.
Put him on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Put him back on the practice squad.
Yep. So so they did that, and so that leaves you the option to probably put, I was reading, probably put Darren Bates on the 53, and then you can activate Adoree Jackson.
You know, it's interesting. You watch this shuttling between the practice squad and the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a whole lot of poaching guys off of other teams' rosters. I wonder if it's almost this year a gentleman's agreement that, hey, this is going to be your AAA. We're all going to need the flexibility in the roster. So if you won't take one of ours, we won't take one of yours. Am I wrong in looking at it that way?
It's
almost like a AAA. It almost looks like a AAA where, you know, you have extra guys to go with. They shuttle guys up and down.
Well, I think it's the COVID protocols too, that, you know, there's the waiting period of after you acquire a guy. I mean, it's so many days that they have to go through the process.
That way.
That's
why
I don't think the trade deadline is going to be as active as it has been because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see that. I just think that that's in play, and I just think you ultimately just go with what you know, right? You're more comfortable with what you know. If you feel like if there's somebody in your scouting department that has told you X on so and so's roster on their practice squad can absolutely help us, they're going to go get them. You know, that they don't care about, you know, gentleman's agreement or unwritten rules like baseball. I mean, they're going to go get them. In football, they don't care. whatever can help their team. I just think that ultimately you go with what you know. And if you're around somebody all the time, why wouldn't you, and you know what they're all about, why wouldn't you stick with that as opposed to, I think there may be a little bit more upside elsewhere, but I don't have a clue how they operate, right? I don't know what they, if their meeting's on time, I don't know how their attitude is. You know, so don't you just stick with what you know? Like this guy, we know. But what he brings to the table every single day. This other guy, we think he may be a little bit more talented and can help us a little bit more, but have no idea about the rest of the stuff.
I think so, but there also, there doesn't seem to be a fear that you're going to lose those guys when you put them on the practice squad, because that would be the fear, right?
Was there in the past, though, really? I mean, was there a big fear? I mean, teams have shuffled guys, cut them, and put them back on the practice. I mean, we've talked about stories, guys here, how many times they've been on practice squads, right? How many times they've been cut? I mean, hasn't that kind of always happened? I mean, how much do we pay attention to it? That's the thing. In the past, much did we pay attention? This year, it's a little bit more relevant because of what we're talking about.
But you have a bigger group. You have a bigger group that you can stash.
Correct.
There. So it's almost like a AAA roster, and it's being utilized very well by the Titans, for sure.
And I wonder if there might be discussions in the offseason of maybe not to the extent that they've done it this year, but keeping the practice squad roster similar to what they've used this year, maybe not having as – because usually it's, what, first- or second-year players that can be on a practice squad. Now it's pretty much wide open. Like, that's how they've been able to have a Darren Bates or a Will Compton,
right,
and shuffle those guys in and out. That's Simeon is on the Titans practice squad as the third quarterback, and apparently is, you know,
you have a kicker
he's
on
in
there
a bunker
now, which
somewhere,
they never, but nobody would ever have done before, right?
Right. So I think that system has worked.
Yes.
I think that
and the
system,
Titans are good at exploiting that because
sure,
they're very good at identifying guys that they can patch in.
So I kind of think that there should be a discussion like, hey, this works. You know, now does it work financially? What are the those are obviously some questions that have to be asked. You know, what are the numbers there? But do they keep it this way and not have as many restrictions on, you know, a guy that you can put on the practice squad moving forward?
Pat Forty has just tweeted out in the last 5 minutes, source, Sun Belt moving to an 18-game divisional-only hoop schedule starting January 1. They will play on Friday and Saturdays at single sites against the same opponent. We'll play each divisional team four times, two home, two away, except rival travel partner, which will play twice, home and home. I was reading something this morning that said that there was a lot of stuff behind the scenes about an Orlando bubble like the NBA had for college basketball in the to see if they could do some of these, all these tournaments, and do that in Orlando in a bubble. And I guess between ESPN, because I guess they were going to be kind of the partner to show all these games, and the COVID restrictions with the conferences, and they could not get on the same page, and all that's been scrapped. But they were in heavy discussions about trying to do an out-of-conference bubble in Orlando like the NBA, and that was the best way to pull it off on college basketball. But they just could not work everything out. And from what I was reading this morning, it looks like that has been scrapped. But here you go, Sun Belt saying they're moving to an 18-game divisional-only hoop schedule.
The Fun Belt.
Playing Fridays and Saturdays. Doubleheaders, basically.
That's how the Ivy League has done it for years, play Friday, Saturday.
But against the same opponent?
Not against the same opponent. They've done for years, years, as long as I can remember, Friday, Saturday, just two different. You have kind of a, like the OVC does, have a partner team. And so half the teams go play the two. You have a travel partner, and those two teams go on the road. So creative. Didn't we hear the OVC is looking at that kind of thing too? Just conference only?
I don't
know about the Friday, Saturday, home and home. But
I suspect that's probably definitely being discussed.
It's whatever maximizes your chance of getting the full schedule in and minimizes the risk of having a positive test at a bad time, where when you only have 12 guys, right? If you're missing a couple of key guys, that could drastically change what the game will look like right? Especially if it's the right two or three guys, it could just decimate your chances of winning. So everything that they're doing is and they're sacrificing game prep time, right? Or, you know, you know how these college coaches, they love to go through the video and all the tendencies and the game planning. I guess that's going to be minimized a little bit this year. That's a worthy price to play to get the games in.
Yep. Also, the Carolina Panthers have designated Christian McCaffrey to return from IR. So how about that? So he's been out since, what, week two?
Yeah, that's season. Big for Teddy B. Let's go.
There you go. All right, we will come back. Alan Bell from Sportsline. We'll have a good discussion with him on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Background, Darren Donick and Chase. TJ Houshmandzadeh will tell us a little bit more about the next opponent for the Titans. Of course, former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver. That's who's next up for the Titans. They will actually go on the road for the first time in a while. They will take on a Bengals team coming off a heartbreak loss to the Browns on Sunday. We bring in Alan Bell from Sportsline. He now joins us. Alan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Y'all doing all right?
We're doing fantastic. Sports betting in Tennessee, huh? It's about to be a really big thing. It's here. And now people have the ability. How much do you think that is going to change kind of, you know? It's one thing with us talking about it, but the fact that you can actually do it now in this state legally, what do you think that means for the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, so first off, I mean, I think it's great because you're going to tap into a market that is massive. and brings a lot of revenue. It's going to bring revenue to the state. Now, it'll take time for the, you know, market to mature. But, yeah, I think it's going to be good. And, you know, you're going to see a lot more, you know, fans, football fans, et cetera, around the state of Tennessee, Nashville, et cetera, that get into the games, you know, strictly based, you know, kind of on this. I mean, most people watch, they already have a team, et cetera, things like that. But you're just going to see more interest. I guarantee that you see TV ratings locally boost early. There's just going to be a lot of interest, man. I'm excited to see how it goes, you know, how it all plays out this weekend.
Yeah, and how do you think that, you know, the big companies like DraftKings and FanDuel and stuff that we've known them, it was really, you know, we've really talked about for most of the time of their existence is like daily fantasy, right? That became the hot thing. And we know that drives people to the product as well, right? Watching the NFL game because, wow, I can do this on a daily basis and change my roster every week. And, wow, this is cool. This is something totally different. And now they're in this realm, so you've got both bases covered. Pretty interesting for football
fans.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, daily fantasy DFS is a massive, massive market, especially considering this year, how weird that it's been. You look fantasy football, you know, across the board. I know you know, over at CBS Sports as a whole, you know, fantasy football, you know, signups, et cetera, things like that were down roughly 25-30%. And that's, you know, across the board of all the major, you know, media companies, you know, that host fantasy football on their site. So you're going to have, you know, big interest with that too. Because again, you know, last night you could play it in exactly what it is, you know, in one night spurt. So you're going to see it last night, Monday Night Football. You'll see it tonight in the World Series. It's exciting, man. And the best part about it, if people haven't ever played it before, you know, you can get in on these things and, you know, it costs you $1, $2, $4. Like it's not terribly expensive to get involved, and it's a ton of fun. It really is.
Yeah. We were actually giving out Sportsline odds on Friday concerning a possible landing spot for Antonio Brown. Of course, the Titans were in that top six odds. Seattle was the favorite. Tampa was way up there as well. And then we would learn shortly, you know, after we were off the air for the week, that indeed Antonio Brown had picked his spot, and it was going to be in Tampa. Well, we talked about it in the first hour. We went down to Tampa, obviously. Interesting situation in that market with the Rays in Game 6 tonight of the World Series. The Lightning have won the Stanley Cup, and the Bucks are off to a 5-2 start, and they just acquired Antonio Brown. They're already, Alan, scoring more points than anybody else in the NFL. How do you think this dynamic is going to work?
It's incredible. So first off, thank you for using Sports Line odds. We appreciate you on that. And second, it's crazy what Tom Brady does to a city, right? Like, they just immediately start winning titles when this guy gets down here. I'll say this. At William Hill, the Tampa Bay Bucs are now the betting favorite to win the NFC. And
wow.
What I mean by betting favorite, yeah, is they've got more money placed on them than anybody else. You know, I don't know if they're, you know, good enough to do that, but this team is good. I mean, they're legit, and they're getting better. We'll see what Antonio Brown can do. Hopefully doesn't blow that team's locker room up. But they're good, man. And what, you know, what they don't get credit for enough is their defense. I mean, all the focus is going to be on Tom Brady and Gronk, et cetera, things like that, rightfully so. Their defense, they're the only team in the NFL that's allowing less than 3 yards per rush. Like, I mean, their defense is bona fide legit. And they seem to be getting better and better each week. So, yeah, keep an eye on them, man. They're a fun team to watch.
Those linebackers are sick in Tampa, man. They're a fun group to watch, like you said. All right, so I wanted to watch the World Series Sunday night, and I did, but I could not also turn away from Arizona-Seattle. Now, going back to the fantasy angle, you know, when you have Kyler Murray and you have DeAndre Hopkins on the same team on your fantasy team, you're going to tend to pay attention to what they're doing, and it ended up being a tremendous game. But here was my takeaway from that, and I'm going to ask you which one, in your opinion, if you had to choose one, it's going to affect the most down the stretch. I came on here yesterday and said I kind of see Seattle and Tennessee as the same type of teams. You know, they're not having any trouble scoring on offense. Things are rolling right along on offense. They're both really good teams. They were both 5-0 teams going into this weekend, and they both came away with tough 3-point losses. And what's their weakness? Both can't get to the quarterback. Both, by the way, I don't think Seattle had a sack in the game, an overtime game on Sunday night. And they didn't get to Russell Wilson, Arizona, until overtime. But they can't get to the quarterback. They can't slow anybody down. So in your opinion, moving forward, one, how can both Seattle and Tennessee, who are built to make a long run in the playoff, how can they fix their defenses? And who do you think their deficiencies on defense is going to affect the most in the second half of the season, as in you don't believe they're going to be able to turn it around enough to make a long run or get into the playoffs and make that long run?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll tell you, I mean, that's a great observation. Both teams are extremely similar. The problem for both of them is exactly what you said. One, they can't really get after the quarterback. And two, their pass defenses are just giving up massive amounts of yardage. Now, Seattle is much worse. The Tennessee Titans are. I mean, the Titans have their third down issues, but, you know, the Seahawks are giving up over 1,900 yards in the air, which I think is the most for a 5-win team in the history of the Super Bowl era. Like, it's really, really bad for Seattle. So to answer your question, I think Tennessee is much more, kind of primed, you know, for better success. The problem is that the AFC is much more strong. Are stronger than the NFC is, and that hasn't been the case the last 3 or 4 years. Usually the NFC has, you know, those four teams, you know, at the top that are really, really good. It's kind of flipped this year with the AFC, so the Titans might have, you know, a little bit more of a difficult road, per se, to get there, but I think the Titans are a much better team overall. Plus, the Titans' offense is extremely diverse. Not that Seattle isn't, but a lot of that is Russell Wilson. But the Titans, you know, the Titans' offense, can, you know, they can line up with Derrick Henry. They can have a run game and beat you. They can beat you in the air. But that's a good observation because both teams really kind of play the same style. And they've had some really big second half and fourth quarter comebacks, you know, basically out of necessity. So to answer your question, I'm going to say Tennessee. But, yeah, that's a good observation for sure.
Alan Bell is with us, CBS Sports Line. And, Alan, I think you have on your mind what we did earlier in the show when we saw this, that Stephon Gilmore could be available to trade by the Patriots. It makes some sense. He kind of fits the profile of the type of guy that they've been willing to deal before, a year too early as opposed to a year too late. What do you think would be the asking price? Are we talking first-round pick to get a guy like that?
Well, that's a great question. So, with Stephon, you know, the big thing for New England is going to be the cap space. And the big team, you know, the big thing for a team trading for him is going to be, you know, picking up his contract. I think he's got $24 million or something left on it. So with that, you know, it's kind of understood that, hey, if the Patriots really want to make this deal, you might not have to, you know, necessarily give up too terribly much because the price is, you know, kind of high of what you're going to have to take on. So I think you could get him. You know, you're looking at a, you know, I think probably maybe a second, a third, something around there. Like, if we look at trades, there really haven't been any, you know, massive, you know, first round type, you know, pick trades, except for, you know, Bill O'Brien and the Texans, and he's not even there anymore. So I don't think that the trade away price is going to be too terribly expensive. It's just, can you afford him moving forward? And that's a tough part for the Titans, because if you look, you know, obviously they're secondary, they're pretty heavily invested. And the Titans don't have too much cap space to work with this year or next year. Now, they could make some moves on some contracts and, you know, kind of rework some things. They definitely have those options available for John Robinson. But yeah, it's going to come down, can you afford to pay him or not?
So, Alan, looking around, related question. Do you think the Patriots feel like they can get back in the race? They looked awful on Sunday, but the Bills, as you point out on your Twitter, they have a negative point differential, so they're having some issues right now. They had problems putting the Jets away. We know how bad the Jets are. The Dolphins are making the quarterback change to Tua. It seems to be still kind of a wide open division, but are the Patriots good enough to take advantage of that?
That's a great question. I mean, the division is there for the taking. You know, it's certainly not wrapped up by anybody. The problem for New England is their offense. I mean, take a look at this. Cam Newton is their leading passer, obviously. He's their leading rusher, which is crazy. And he has more receiving yards than three other Patriots wide receivers. And we're talking about him getting benched. Like, that's the problem, is that he's their best player by far, and he might not even be good enough to start. So I don't know where Bill Belichick's head is in terms of the season. I know that, you know, he's never one that wants to quit on a season or anything like that, especially when he sees that he can win. But he also understands that, you know what, like, this team does not have much money to work with, and it's going to be difficult to rebuild this roster, because they, quite honestly, they have a massive, massive job in front of them of fixing their offensive line, fixing their run game, they have no wide receivers, they have no tight end options. I mean, they have so much work to do out there, it's wild to see that. So we'll see. You know, Belichick's never been afraid to trade anybody, but the difficult part is that Stephon Gilmore is different, and he's a guy that Belichick absolutely loves and wants to build around. So I don't know if he trades him or not, but if he does, I mean, it goes to show you that there's going to be a subsequent move after that to acquire as much talent as they possibly can.
How have the odds on the Dolphins changed since they've decided to go with Tua as their quarterback?
Well, you know, not too terribly much. I mean, there wasn't really any, you know, big, you know, futures bets or anything like that on them. And, you know, you're not going to see too much of a swing in terms of the spread, especially with them coming off a bye. What's going to happen is that there's going to be a market correction right after that game. People are going to take a look and see what Tua is about. There will be some bets come in on Miami's favor, just because a lot of people like Tua. And it's exciting, and it's something new. So people, you know, the public always wants to get behind that. But you're not going to see too terribly much in terms of large, big bets, things like that. But if Tua goes out, plays, takes down the Rams, you know, Sunday, and has a good game doing it, you're going to see a massive amount of money come in on Miami, just because the public is going to want to get behind the kids so much. So keep an eye on that. If the Dolphins win, Watch their spread the next week. There's going to be a ton of money coming on them.
We're talking to Alan Bell from Sportsline, mixing in some NFL and some sports betting as it gets ready to come to Tennessee. So you saw Pittsburgh against the Titans this weekend, and now Pittsburgh, the only undefeated left, as they lead the AFC North. What are the odds right now in that division? Because you got Cleveland that's not going away, but we also know about Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah, so you see a really tight market in the AFC North. Obviously, the Ravens are still they're still the betting favorite from the public, because so much money was on them previously coming in. But you're seeing Pittsburgh get more and more money each week. So you're looking, you know, at a plus, you know, 110 for the Ravens to win, a plus 120, you know, for the Steelers to win the division. And then the Browns are going to be, you know, somewhere around plus 250, somewhere around that number. But it's interesting just of how good that division is. And you know, having three absolutely viable teams that can do it. That Browns loss to the Steelers, especially the way that it went down, it really, really, you know, hurt them, you know, in terms of, you know, faith, you know, from the betting public, you know, on the Browns to do it. You're going to see a lot come in, you know, after this week, after the Ravens and Steelers play Sunday, because of not only it being, you know, obviously a division game between those two teams, but just because those two teams are just so massively popular. So if the Steelers pick that up, watch for it to flip and the Steelers to be sitting in the favorite. But Pittsburgh and Baltimore will be neck and neck, you know, basically for the rest of the year, unless something drastic happens to either team.
Yeah, that line has been fun to watch because it opened, Pittsburgh was +5.5. Now it's down to 3.5. And you think, where do you think it moves anymore, or how do you think that's going to look when they kick off on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it will. Now, well, it probably, you know, the lowest it could go is probably 3, just because, like you said, there's been so much movement already and so much money. But again, you know, here's where, you know, betting, think of betting, you know, from a national perspective, the same way that you think of, like, TV ratings, right? So teams that are, you know, just massive, just national brands, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Packers, et cetera, things like that, the public bets them hard, no matter what. Right? Like the Dallas Cowboys are still getting massive money bet on them week in and week out, you know, in their favor. So it's very, very similar to that. So watch, there's going to be more money come in on Pittsburgh as the week goes. But once it gets down, you know, now that we're looking at, you know, kind of a, you know, a key number of 3, watch how money comes in on Pittsburgh and then a lot of money, you know, probably Saturday comes back in on Baltimore. So it could get as low as 3, but I bet it probably lands, I would say probably Steelers +4 is where I think, because there will be a lot of money in a market correction come in on Baltimore later.
All right, I'm going to give you my lock of the week, and I want you to tell me what you think. Okay. Seattle -3 at home against San Francisco.
Ooh, that's a great – that man, I'm not against that whatsoever. The only thing that worries and concerns me is San Francisco starting to pick themselves up, and they're such a diverse offense that they can essentially do it from anybody and everybody, you know, on that roster. But again, it's hard to bet against Seattle, you know, for them to lose 2 weeks in a row because they are such a good team. Yeah, so I'm with you on that. I don't disagree whatsoever.
Russ is going to be PO'd for greatness when they kick that game off on Sunday. Hey, Alan, we appreciate the time, and looking forward to the tweets and the banter back and forth with you as we talk some betting, because it's finally here, and it's nice to not be talking about it's coming. It's nice to be talking about that it's actually here, so we appreciate it.
Oh, you're so right, and I look forward to that too, and can't thank you guys enough for having me on. I really appreciate it.
He is Alan Bell from Sportsline, and I know we will be talking a lot more with him about the NFL and sports betting. And speaking of, Darren, you have a word about DraftKings.
I do. Legal sports betting is indeed here in our beautiful state of Tennessee. And the best way to get into the action is with DraftKings. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world and have created America's top-rated sportsbook app, DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate this momentous event, DraftKings is giving everyone who registers now a $50 free bet to use once DraftKings Sportsbook is fully operational in Tennessee. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get a $50 free bet to use once the mobile sports betting hits Tennessee. That code again, 1025GAME, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem or wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. TJ Houshmandzadeh coming up at high noon. I was looking at Jimmy Shapiro, betonline.ag. Their odds that they just sent us, current odds to win the Super Bowl. Who do you think is the favorite in the National Football League? This is as of right now.
Tampa.
Willie?
Kansas City
is indeed still the favorite. Kansas City is still the favorite. They were the favorite last week. They're still the favorite this week. The Bucks have moved way up. They probably moved up, I don't know, five spots, and they are now the third favorite.
Okay.
So they're the third favorite. Who's in between them?
Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to say
Baltimore.
Them.
Yep. So Kansas City, Baltimore, Tampa, then whom?
Pittsburgh.
Then Pittsburgh. Then whom?
Seattle.
No, we're getting there.
Uh-huh.
Seattle is there?
Nope. Seattle is after this team.
Green Bay.
Yeah, there you go.
So Kansas City, Baltimore, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Seattle. So let me just stop right there. How many of those teams do you – let me just say this. Let me phrase it this way. Do you believe all those teams should be ahead of the Titans? And if not, who should the Titans be ahead of?
Are the Titans next on the list?
They are after one more. Okay, so let's go on and get one more team. Then the Titans are after them. So there's one more team in between Seattle
Rams?
And the Titans.
Yeah.
Rams are right after the Titans. They're the next team after the Titans.
I'm trying to think here.
Bills?
Bills are right after the Rams.
Okay.
I'd probably go... There's not one that, like, is obvious.
I'm sure it's not the Browns.
Nope.
Is it the Saints?
It's the Saints. So here we go. Here are the teams ahead of the Titans. Chiefs, Ravens, Bucks, Steelers, Packers, Seahawks, Saints. Are all those teams, in your mind, better than the Titans? Should they have better
Super Bowl
odds? The
Saints are ahead
of
the Titans. I would take the Titans over the Saints.
Yep.
At this point.
So would I.
I would too. Okay. Who? Anybody else?
Green Bay. You know, I still see them as a little precarious because they're still a little thin to me. And if they got more guys injured, but I got to give them credit, they've had guys injured and still won. But I think I might take the Titans over the Packers, especially, you know, the formula that they'll use in the cold weather. I kind of like the Titans there. I take them over the Packers.
I struggle with that one, but see, I go back to this point that for the Titans to be in this conversation nationally, like we talked about with Jeff Fisher, I mean, they have to beat teams like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Green Bay. They're going to have to get – they can't just hang with them. They're going to actually get the wins. So I still lean Green Bay slightly over the Titans, but I would have the Titans above the Saints.
If you can't get any pressure to Aaron Rodgers, how are you going to slow them
exactly.
down?
Exactly. Exactly.
How are you going to slow Green Bay down? I mean, they
– keep the ball.
Well, that would probably be part of the game plan, yeah. I mean, you don't think Pittsburgh wasn't trying to do that, especially in the first half? They were trying to just play keep away, right? They were like, hey, we want the time of possession. We want to keep their offense off the field. And they did a great job of it. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do it in the second half, and that's how the Titans got back into it. But it worked to a T. What, they have double the time of possession in the first half? Wasn't it like 20-10? Steelers to the Titans in T.O.P.?
Well, it was, you know, something like 15-1 at one point, right? The first two drives sandwiched around a three and out for the Titans. That took well into the second quarter before the Titans got the ball for the second time. So,
I mean, easier said than done, right? I mean, obviously everybody wants to keep a good offense off the field, but I mean, you'd have to take that approach against Green Bay. I mean, if you can't apply any pressure to Aaron Rodgers, man, he is just going to carve you up like a Thanksgiving turkey.
What you have to keep in mind is that every team, no matter how good they are in the salary cap era, usually has some weakness. It's very rare that you have a true juggernaut that has no weaknesses because there's just not enough money to have it all come together except under rare circumstances. So, like, your strong suit has to be able to overshadow and minimize your weak suit, right? I don't think we believe the Kansas City defense is any great shakes, but the offense is so good, it doesn't have to be.
But their defense is pretty darn good. They don't win games 48-42.
Yeah, but I,
look what they just did to Denver. They carved them up.
But the Broncos are not good. And when Vegas beat the Chiefs, they shredded the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense could not stop the Raiders. And I don't look at the Raiders as the best offense going. You agree?
No, they're not.
The Chiefs, Ravens, Bucks, Steelers, they really stand out. Those are the top four teams, and they stand out because their defenses are good. And the Chiefs probably, to your point, has the less of the four. Steelers, Bucks, Ravens, I would go ahead of them. But those teams can play defense, and that's what concerns me about Seattle. That's what concerns me about the Titans.
Definitely.
Honestly, the Saints' defense. Remember we went down there and we were talking about the whole Jadeveon Clowney and how and Jeff Duncan was like, their defense is good. Their defense has not been good.
Not very good.
No.
No, their defense has not been good at all this year.
Apparently they knew that and they were like, yeah, we need Clowney.
Well, that wasn't the picture that was being painted
to
us. We were being told their defense is really good. They don't even understand why they need Clowney. Well, their defense is not really good. All right, we'll come back. TJ Houshmandzadeh to start the third hour of Darren Dunnick and Chase. That's next.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.